Chapter 29, Lewis R. Conradi. L. R. Conradi, with whom Ellen G. White labored in Boenkel, was a native of Germany who had gone to America when he was 17. While in the United States, he had become a Seventh-day Adventist. He was a graduate of Battle Creek College, an intelligent man with unusual gifts and abilities. He finished the four-year college course in 18 months and then labored successfully in America among the German-speaking people in the Midwestern states. He was ordained to the gospel ministry in 1882. And now, as we have already noted, at the age of 30 he had returned to Europe with W.C. White in February, 1886. From time to time he worked closely with Ellen White as her translator. She was gratified that he was back in Europe. In the months that followed, he labored with zeal and sacrifice in Russia. While in the Crimea he itinerated with a native Russian believer, Gerhard Perk, a former Mennonite who had been converted through reading Seventh-day Adventist literature. Conradi was accused by the Russian authorities of teaching Jewish heresy and was imprisoned for 40 days. When Ellen White heard of it, she was greatly distressed and wrote to him a kind and understanding letter. She assured him that we will have special care for your wife and child. We have not forgotten you, but we have presented your case to the highest tribunal, the great sovereign of the worlds. The Lord whom we serve will deliver you in his own good time. In this comforting letter she wrote also about the triumph of the truth of God, indicating that nothing that the enemies of the gospel could do would permanently hinder the spread of the message of truth. Sister White continued, God reigns, and notwithstanding his majesty he loves the most helpless, the most suffering ones among his children. God is showing us evidences of his power, and truth will triumph. God will uproot every error in doctrine. Every truth will be immortal. Commit the keeping of your soul to God as unto a faithful Creator. The angels of God are round about you. Have faith in God. Remember Jesus your Redeemer and see what he endured. When the apostles of Christ were thrust into prison, angels of God came within the prison walls and ministered unto them. Oh, the tenderness, the compassion of God! He says, Can a woman forget her sucking child? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Ibid. Conradi's rise to leadership. Later we see Conradi safely back in Germany preaching in Hamburg, where he established at 41 Sophienstrasse the headquarters for the developing German church. He steadily advanced in leadership. In 1891 all of Germany and Russia were detached from the Central European Conference and placed under his direction. Conradi always labored with zeal and energy. In 1901 the General European Conference was created, and he became its first chairman, and in 1903 a General Conference vice president. He remained head of the work in Europe, later as president of the European Division, until 1922. CSDA Encyclopedia, pages 302-303. The hardy German leader was an able writer with a number of books to his credit, notable among which was his own revision and enlargement of J.N. Andrews' History of the Sabbath, Conradi and the Sanctuary Doctrine. Unfortunately, as the years passed, Conradi became entangled with strange new views about the nature of the cleansing of the sanctuary and the actual events connected with the crucial 1844 date. To him, developments in the Middle East in 1844 fulfilled the prophecy of. Conradi also came to believe that the proclamation of the three angels' messages of was fulfilled in the work of the reformers, particularly the reformers of the 16th century. He saw no special providences of God in the beginnings of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Conradi's departure from the faith did not come to its climax in the events of a day or a month or a year. According to his testimony, the beginning of his problems dated back of 1886, and they were intensified at the Minneapolis General Conference in 1888 when he resisted the presentation of E.J. Wagoner's views on righteousness by faith. Mrs. White, of course, supported Wagoner's preaching of the doctrine of righteousness by faith. This fact put Conradi in a difficult position. Would he or would he not disparage Mrs. White? In time it became quite clear that he did not hesitate to do this. A letter of confession to Sister White. In 1891, however, he had second thoughts about his independent position, and he sincerely regretted his antagonistic spirit. He discloses this in a handwritten letter of confession to Sister White written in August, 1891. The letter follows. Dear Sister in Christ, you may be somewhat surprised to receive a letter from me, but during this past week I felt impressed that to write to you and free my heart would be only another weight cast aside that may hinder me in my heavenly race. You will therefore pardon when I take some of your valuable time. I shall try to be short. When I first became connected with this people, over 13 years ago, I learned by experience what it is to taste the peace of God and the surety of sins forgiven, also to be free from the bondage of sin. As to theory, I confess I had but little light on this point, as on many others. For nearly 7 years I remained victor, making steady progress. It was my privilege to make you and your dear husband's acquaintance shortly after embracing the truth, and I shall never forget his kindness, as he bought me the coat in which I graduated and gave me the charts when I began to preach. But when I came to Europe, rather a short time previous, defeats came, at first only slight, at long intervals. While my desire was to work for union, yet I had not always the right feeling toward you. The peculiar circumstances at Basel were no help to me, and I was slowly losing ground. When I went to America I hoped to be helped, but the Minneapolis meeting only added darkness. Your words proved true in my case. I tried to conquer by keeping at work. This helped for seasons, partly, but the bondage remained. Oh, how dark are the hours of bondage, if one has tasted freedom before. Had it not been for the freedom and experience gained before this time, I do not know where I would have drifted. But the sweet peace of God no longer abideth. I would enjoy freedom and feel his blessings during meetings, but when over there the bondage returned, it was an up and down, and it rather went down than up. More than once I laid stretched on the floor, asking God to help, but I was not willing to break fully with the idle sin. When I heard of the good meeting's last general conference, I thought, if it is only true. I went to London and gained some more light as to my true condition, made some steps, but did not succeed or gain the victory fully. Brother Olson came to Hamburg and we went to Basel. I again went further and struggled and wrestled, until a week ago I came again to Hamburg. The condition of my wife and the unsettled state of our affairs weighed heavily, and while I pleaded with God, I can say for once more, I have been freed. The sweet peace of God has returned to abide, and today I would rather give life and all than to lose it again by sin. Oh, it tastes so precious, after years of spiritual dearth. And today, with the light I have received from my brethren, I hope to keep the experience and preserve it unto the end. I can believe that the victory even unto the end is mine, and not because I am able, for I have learned my nothingness, but because Christ liveth in me. For my dark experiences in the past I have but one to blame, and that is, myself. May outer darkness be ever so great, if we are bright, we bring even light. But I praise God for his long-suffering with me, as unworthy as I was to have not only a position, but a place among his people. In view of the feelings I cherished against you and words I have dropped, especially during the Minneapolis meeting, I ask your forgiveness, and if you and my brethren still grant me a place in the cause of God, I can say, with God's help of which I have evidence, I shall be a different minister, member and brother. My heart goes out for souls as it did years ago, and I feel that freedom from the bondage of sin and the peace of God as I did then. Sad experiences are behind me, but I look forward with good confidence to a brighter future. I want to learn more of the fullness in Christ and what my high calling in him is. And I want to get in that full harmony with my brethren and sisters, that when we meet again, I can with them enjoy God's rich blessings. God in his mercy, even in my dark hours, has helped me to keep in peace with my brethren here and in union with our people, and even to work for that union, yet I have marred it only too often by my deeds. The Lord has kept me until now, where I have not deserved it, but he has found me again, and I want to go no more astray. I can now prize your admonitions of the past and see light where before was darkness. Should it not be my privilege to meet you the coming year, I can assure you that in Christ I shall be one with you in your work, and that my prayers will follow you. A. Few words from you that you received my letter and that you grant the forgiveness will be appreciated, and words of counsel, advice or reproof will be thankfully received. The next two paragraphs report the progress of the work in Germany with 5 churches and 126 members and 150 Sabbath keepers in all. May the Lord bless you on your journey to Australia if it should be in His providence for you to go. Yours in the truth. Signed, L. Arkanrati, August 16, 1891. Any reply from Ellen White must have been a personal handwritten confidential note not placed in the Ellen G. White typewritten files. Conradi's faith revived. 6 years later, in a letter to Ellen G. White written from Fasto, Russia, it is clear that he was still striving nobly to please the Lord. Sister White was then in Australia. In the very first paragraph of his letter to her, he writes about how he has found light in the Word of God and the testimonies of his Spirit. He expresses also his gratitude to Christ, who has proven a faithful friend and high priest to me, when everything looked dark and Satan even urged there was no hope and that I had better cast away my only anchor. My prayer is today, Lord, anoint my eyes, let me see to my own salvation, and guard all my wanderings and strayings from the path of duty, and let me know what Thy will is. I do not want to mar His work by the past, though He has graciously forgiven. I shall be pleased if you have any light or exhortation or counsel to receive the same. He signed his letter, Your Unworthy Brother in Christ, L. Arkanrati. L. Arkanrati Letter to Ellen G. White, October 6, 1897. Here is revealed the faith on Conradi's part in the testimonies of Ellen White, also in any light or exhortation or counsel that she might have to give to him. Sister White's esteem for Conradi. Her contacts with the European leader through the years were occasional. However, she was well acquainted with his work and esteemed him as a church leader. For example, while preaching at the General Conference session in 1901, which Conradi attended, she mentioned him by name publicly and directed a message to him from the desk. Here are her very words. Brother Conradi has carried a very heavy burden of work in Europe. Brother Conradi, God wants you to have laborers to stand with you, and He wants you to give them all the encouragement you can. He wants the work you are doing to go with strength and with power. You have been doing the work of several men. God has greatly blessed your labors. The angels of God have done this work, not Brother Conradi. He has opened doors for the angels, and they have entered. And if you will all open doors for the angels and give God an opportunity to work, let me tell you that He will set in operation that which will carry forward the work with a strength you do not dream of. P. 398. For a time he set a new course for his future life. To what great heights he might have risen had he persisted and endured. But somewhere along the way he drifted back and, exercising a typical independence, returned to his former perilous position. In time he came to believe in advocate views we have referred to that struck at the very heart of the third angel's message, the Conradi hearings. Eventually, in 1931, the leaders of the work in Central Europe, in a committee meeting at Friedensau, Germany, found it necessary to challenge him face to face and call into question his erroneous views. He was given an opportunity to present and defend his position. But his conclusions were unacceptable. This marked the beginning of the end for Conradi's influence as an elected Seventh-day Adventist Church official in Europe. Before the final break came, however, a last effort was made to save him. The General Conference Committee agreed to his request for the privilege of presenting his views in the United States before a group of church leaders. This committee met October 13 to 16, 1931, preceding the 1931 Autumn Council in Omaha, Nebraska. Included among those who served on this committee were church administrators who had their roots in German soil, E. Kotz, W. Mueller, R. Ruling, and G. W. Schubert. C. H. Watson, General Conference President, acted as chairman. W. E. Howe was secretary of the committee. After several lengthy presentations by Conradi, the brethren met and issued a statement, in the last paragraph of which they asserted the love they had for Brother Conradi, also their love for the truth of God. But the statement was realistic. We must say plainly that his expositions of the prophecy take very much the course of those who in past years have departed from the scriptural doctrine of the sanctuary and have dropped out of the movement. As we listen to Elder Conradi's expositions, we feel that they confuse Bible truth, and if accepted would destroy the very foundations of this special Advent movement. Statement on Conradi hearings, on deposit in White Estate Vault. The committee's report. The committee came to grips with Conradi's doctrinal views and interpretations. A study of the report shows the wide divergence of views held by Conradi and church leaders before whom he appeared in Omaha. The fact that Ellen White's teachings corresponded with those held by the members of this representative committee made up of church leaders is a point that needs to be understood. The Ellen G. White position. Ellen White's position, which she held for years, fully supported the concept that the Advent movement itself met the specifications of the Bible prophecy of. Conradi held that the reformers of the 16th century preached this message and thus met the specifications of this prophecy. In Testimonies, Volume 9, page 19, Ellen White wrote, "In a special sense Seventh-day Adventists have been set in the world as watchmen and light-bearers. To them has been entrusted the last warning for a perishing world. On them is shining wonderful light from the Word of God. They have been given a work of the most solemn import, the proclamation of the first, second, and third angels' messages. There is no other work of so great importance. They are to allow nothing else to absorb their attention. The most solemn truths ever entrusted to mortals have been given us to proclaim to the world. The proclamation of these truths is to be our work." See also Volume 5, p. 206. Regarding the interpretation of, Conradi held that events in Turkey and the East in 1844 were the fulfillment of the prophecy that at the end of the 2,300 years the sanctuary would be cleansed. But note the following from the pen of Ellen White. The question, "What is the sanctuary?" is clearly answered in the scriptures. The term sanctuary, as used in the Bible, refers, first, to the tabernacle built by Moses, as a pattern of heavenly things, and, secondly, to the true tabernacle in heaven, to which the earthly sanctuary pointed. At the death of Christ the typical service ended. The true tabernacle in heaven is the sanctuary of the new covenant. And as the prophecy of is fulfilled in this dispensation, the sanctuary to which it refers must be the sanctuary of the new covenant. At the termination of the 2,300 days in 1844, there had been no sanctuary on earth for many centuries. Thus the prophecy, "Unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed," unquestionably points to the sanctuary in heaven. Thus those who followed in the light of the prophetic word saw that, instead of coming to the earth at the termination of the 2,300 days in 1844, Christ then entered the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary, to perform the closing work of atonement preparatory to his coming. The historic position of Ellen White and the Church on the subject of the sanctuary and Christ's intercessory priesthood is well expressed in these words. "I know that the sanctuary question stands in righteousness and truth, just as we have held it for so many years. It is the enemy that leads minds off on sidetracks. He is pleased when those who know the truth become engrossed in collecting scriptures to pile around erroneous theories, which have no foundation in truth. The scriptures thus used are misapplied. They were not given to substantiate error, but to strengthen truth." The question of the spirit of prophecy. It is not difficult to understand, in the light of Conradi's divergent views, why he would oppose Ellen G. White. After all, she supported the Seventh-day Adventist interpretation of the prophetic scriptures dealing with the three angels' messages and the sanctuary. It is also easy to understand why the break finally came, with Conradi's separation from the church. The committee meeting at Omaha made this statement. On the question of accepting the writings of the spirit of prophecy, the positions taken by Elder Conradi have very naturally led him to question the position and authority of the spirit of prophecy in the church, since these writings clearly teach the accepted denominational view of the sanctuary and its cleansing. Statement on Conradi hearings, p. 8. The statement noted also the position of the church regarding Mrs. White's inspiration. The word of God, however, clearly reveals that this prophetic gift will be manifested in the remnant church and will constitute one of its distinguishing features. The proof of this gift in the church, as manifested through the work of Mrs. E. G. White, has been found in the harmony of her teachings with the Holy Scriptures. Her work has ever been to point the Church of Christ to the Bible as the foundation of faith and to the Lord Jesus Christ as the one and all-sufficient Savior. The same spirit that inspired the prophets of old has been manifest in her work for the Church. While the Scriptures constitute the basis of all faith and doctrine, they at the same time plainly teach the existence of the gift of prophecy in the remnant Church. Statement on Conradi Hearing, a General Conference Document, p. 8. Conradi ceased to be a Seventh-day Adventist in 1932 at the age of 76. His last years were spent in Hamburg, Germany, where he is buried. His son, a notable physician, and his son's wife continued in the faith. Conradi was accepted as a minister for the Seventh-day Baptists. In fact, he became the principal organizer and promoter of that denomination in Germany. Thus we trace with sorrow the defection of a much-loved brother and leader among the Adventists in Europe. The story of similar defections of prominent workers in America has been described in print, for example, D. M. Canwright, who became a Baptist, and Moses Hull, who drifted into spiritualism. These experiences warn all of us off Satan's enchanted ground of deception and apostasy from the present truth. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall.